to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Long haul picks, Action Jacks. I'm Tom Alley. Mr. Weber on the board. S&P futures up 23. NASDAQ futures up 68. Dow futures up 152. So it looks like we're off in the races here this morning. Maybe some of that was because of the Senate, I guess staying all day Saturday and finally coming up with a infrastructure bill, although it's smaller than some people want and bigger than other people want. Brennan, how are you? Brennan with us? He's there somewhere. Brendan is calling in on a Monday. I want to talk a little bit about the Cubs situation and the Major League Baseball economics of that. And he's calling in from Colorado, where they went from having fires, I guess, to mudslides there, while we still have fires other places. This is a busy... Brendan, are you there?
I'm here now. How are
you?
You're
here now. I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. We are surviving the mudslides, so we are surviving the haze in the air on the West Coast, but all was well.
How did you get that much rain? Where was the big mudslide that closed I-70? Was it I-70?
A few hours west of Denver at Glenwood Springs.
I know, right, the big mudslide,
and in some places the mud was 12 feet deep.
Which side of the tunnel is Glenwood Springs?
It's on the far side of the tunnel.
So like over by Vail, through?
It's west, yeah. It's over by Vail.
Wow.
So it's pretty far out there. But we're in Evergreen. My son-in-law lives in Evergreen, and his family, we were okay getting here.
Evergreen is, I think I've been through there, but I forget where it is. Where is that?
Evergreen is north and west of Denver, mostly west.
I think I've been. Is that near where they put the one casino? The one they put, one of those little towns over there they did, I don't know, I went to one of the casinos when they first opened, one of the towns. They took like the towns that were about to shut down without the casinos, and that's where they put them. It was years ago. So anyway, we want to talk a little bit about, even though we want to, you know, obviously we'll talk about the market a little bit today, but we want to talk about the baseball situation and the Cubs. And I was telling Maddie, I was listening to, even though I think he's the world's best announcer, he's Mr. Apologist, Pat Hughes on Friday night, talking about how, oh, God, you know, we're liable to get another Hall of Famer here like Sandberg or Jenkins. I'm going, Pat, really, you don't have to be an apologist. Just say what happened and let people make their own conclusions. I mean, for God's sake.
This is a lot different than the last time the Cubs tried to trade for a rebuild. You know, this is, there's nobody they got back. Well, I mean, probably the best trade they got was from the White Sox with Madrigal and Cody Hewer for the big sell-off. But the other folks, I don't think there's a Ryan Sandberg in there.
Well, the dude, I don't know, Manny, the guy they got from the Mets who's out for the season with shoulder surgery, is he a pitcher? Or Maddie's, I think, busy over there, but I don't know. He's out for shoulder. So we got two guys that have had season-ending surgery. And Madrigal, I'm not a doctor, but that surgery, didn't they have to reattach one of the hamstring muscles right to the bone or something? Isn't that how bad that pull was?
It was pretty bad, and it was bad enough that they decided immediately to have the surgery to give him any chance of coming back in next year, even though they knew he was going to be lost this season.
Yeah, there was no chance of him playing through that. I mean, it's just...
No.
You know, we've talked...
That wasn't a 10-day on the IL list.
Well, we've talked, Brendan, and you know, several occasions we've touched on it, but... And I don't... First of all, I mean, there's a lot of things... there's a lot of reasons why you would not put me in the Oval Office, but... I tell you what, it wouldn't be the first thing on my list, but somewhere in the top 20, getting rid of Major League Baseball's monopoly and antitrust exemption would be one of them. I think it's absolutely horrendous. One of the themes lately, and it's not like you want to insult people in general, but if you don't challenge people, I mean, if I don't get challenged by you guys 5 days a week, I feel like I'm some dunce or something. I mean, it's a point where I love the challenge, but I don't. But if you were to walk down the block, any block, even though there's not many people left in our end of the loop, and just ask people, is there a free agency in baseball? 99% of the people would answer yes. And yet, the free agency affects, is it 1% of all ballplayers?
That could be close, yeah.
You know, the biggest percentage of people who benefit from free agency are those who are in the 10-5 club, who've been in the majors for 10 years, the last 5 years with the same team. They've got more of an ability to choose where they go and when they go. But there has been a shift. I mean, when you look at what the Cubs are doing right now, and really all teams are doing it, when a guy enters the last year of his contract, the leverage shifts. You know, once the year ends and the guy becomes a free agent, he can go just about anywhere he wants. But that last year, the team still retains the rights to trade him, and often does, sometimes getting something of value back, but they become effectively what's called a rental player. The team that acquires him gets him for the rest of the season really as a rental with no expectations of signing him in the future, which means he's a free agent again. But if you look at the last few years, while the money has been substantial, it's not where it should be for free agencies. There's been a couple of years where the free agents have been virtually unsigned through the end of spring training.
Well, you go through periods. Let me just give a try and be brief as I can ever be, and the screwed up economics of this. But also, there are times when in all sports, when you can't predict the future, then you end up on the short end of the stick. I mean, the classic example of a player being on the short end of the stick was Magic Johnson. I mean, when he signed the $1 million a year for 25 years, everybody thought that was the most incredible thing anybody ever heard of. Nobody ever got $1 million for playing ball anywhere. And then the inflation being the way it was, I mean, which is, we're entering that sort of thing today, who knows if it'll last, I mean, but the inflation being the way it was, it couldn't have been, what would you say, Brennan, maybe 3 years before he was virtually the most underpaid. Out of the top 20 people in basketball, he was by far the least paid, right? I mean, it got ridiculous, even that being their owner, not being Jerry Reinsdorf and feel like he owed it to him, like the judge and Caddyshack. He didn't make him stick with their contract, and they changed it because it was so ridiculous. It was an embarrassment to the Lakers as well as him. If $1 million could ever be an embarrassment to anybody, but it became so because he was that good. But now you have a situation where the team controls you. Now, there's collective bargaining. There's pretty good minimum, so it's not like you get a hold of a tag team for any of these guys. The minimum's like $570. But the fact is,
I think it's even more than that. I think it's in the 650s or 675 or so.
Manny, I looked last night. Is it 570? I thought whatever the number is, about 8 of the guys in the Cubs that have the low number.
Yeah, I think it was 570, 575, something like that.
Yeah, Brennan, it's 570.
We just looked it up.
Okay.
But I think every year you're in, it goes up like $5,000 or something. So there's guys at like 575 and 580, that type of thing. But anyway, so the club has this total control in the minor leagues, except for, what's the one exception, Manny? After 5 years, they don't do something with you, you can go in there's some weirdo draft in the minor league, you can actually shift teams.
Yeah, the Rule 5 draft. By the way, the official MLB minimum salary is $570,500. And then, like Chief said, there's little raises here and there each year. So, you know, if a guy's been in the big leagues for a few years, he might be making, you know, $595 or something like that, but he's still technically on the minimum salary.
Well, then they decide they're going to have this free agency the way they describe it. So after 5 or 6 years, if they play the little keep it all May game, right, like they did with Bryant, then all of a sudden, you get to become a free agent. Now, they'll probably be giving you raises along the way, but still, they don't really have to. You can't go anywhere else. So it's not, quote, competitive. But then when you do become a free agent, so few people are free agents that the money those people get is like, I'm going to say, on average, you guys correct me, I'm going to say 3 to 4 times what that person deserves. But because there's only a few people, relatively few people that can change the balance, that essentially can get bid on, you end up with a situation where you have 10 guys making 570, 5 guys making like a couple of mil, a few guys making in the 5 to 8 number, and like 2 guys making 25. Cause they happen to have made it to free agent, which is really, If you look at anybody's salary thing, you look at it and you go, what kind of business is this? These guys, what are, I mean, there are some massive stars, okay, but by and large, the guy who's the star is hitting 280 and the guy who's not the star is hitting 255 or something. So, I mean, if you're paying like, you know, $15 million for the four extra hits or 10 extra hits that guy gets you per year. So you look at it and there's no sense to it whatsoever. And the only way the other guys can move up really is to go with this free, arbitration, which is even dumber for the owners because now if you pay one guy $25 million because he's the only guy available, now the other people get the point of that and say that's what everybody's worth, which they're not. So it is absolutely a screw up in terms of economic thing. Now this year, the Cubs were in a situation with, was the center fielder, Manny, did he have a contract coming up too? What's his name?
Dexter Fowler back?
No, the guy this year that they traded.
Oh, Jock Peterson?
No, the other guy. Maz began with an M. Mariznick?
Oh, Mariznick. I didn't even see that they traded him.
No, oh, yeah, he's gone too.
Yeah, I was kind of out of the loop this weekend, so I didn't follow this very closely.
Well, he was Friday morning. He was one of the first ones to go.
Yeah.
Was him, Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, and who else?
And Jock Peterson. And
Kimbrel.
They traded Trevor Williams, a pitcher. They traded Kimbrel. They traded Tapera. They traded Chafin.
Yeah. Well, Chafin was a couple days before.
Yep.
Now, were all those guys? Well, Kimbrel wasn't a salary guy because he had a year left, right?
Kimbrel had a... So the Sox have to pay, you know, whatever they're paying for the rest of this year, but then they're on the hook for $16 million next year. And the Ricketts couldn't wait to get rid of that.
I thought it was a Cub option. Club option.
I'll have to look. I thought it was a player option, but maybe it is a club option. Let me look. But I know he's due to make 16.
I thought it was a player option.
Yeah, I'll check.
Well, but the way he's pitching this year, I mean, they'd be happy to pay it.
I mean, he's elite, yeah, and if they believe they have a chance to win it all this year, and I think they do, and then I think they believe they have a chance to win it all next year, too, so why wouldn't you want a top closer in the game, you know?
And you need two if you have to plan on going.
I think Kimbrel's much better than Hendricks, even as good as Hendricks is. Kimbrel's much better than him, so yeah, if you now you got two elite guys and you can sort of interchange them at the back of the bullpen if you want.
You can't go through all the way in October with one guy.
Definitely helps step two.
I mean, these guys, what I'm saying is the whole thing is kind of messed up. So the Cubs let themselves get into a situation now. Maybe they didn't want to be extended or whatever. As much as everybody knows my disdain for the Ricketts, they let it get to this point, but there's no way in hell with the COVID and with everything else, with a lot of, that I'm paying these five guys $100 million, $125 million total next year. They're just not that good. I mean, they're hitting 240. I mean, they're not Pujols. They're not Billy Williams. They're not Ernie Banks. They're just not. And this group is, they have major flaws for people to think they're worth $25. I think the difference between what their agents think they're worth and what the three of us think they're worth is a massive gap. What do you think, Manny?
I would agree with that. By the way, Kimbrel's contract.
I agree too.
Chief, you were right. So he's making $16 million this year. Okay, so the Sox are picking up a prorated version of that. And then next year, he's either going to make $16 million on a club option or the club can buy him out for $1 million. And then he's an unrestricted free agent if they decide not to keep him for the $16 million.
Well, there's one other point that you forgot, Chief, when you're talking about free agency, and that's the manipulation of the start time, like we did with Chris Bryant.
Right.
Kept him in the minors until the end of April to give the Cubs another year of free agency control.
Well, how is Rizzo not a 5-10 guy? Is he 9 years and 11 months or what?
I'd have to look at his contract too.
No, but I mean that's a league rule. 5-10, you don't get. You got to approve a trade.
He might have approved it.
All I know with Rizzo did the team friendly deal, and it was a 7-year, like $41 million deal, which made him, you know, sort of grossly underpaid for a while. But it accelerated. It was kind of a backloaded contract.
He's like 11 mil. He's not horribly, I mean.
Well, it's even more than that. So so he's making, you know, 2013, he's making 285. So he never did get to 10 years with the Cubs. Or 10 years in major leagues.
Wait, so he's like 9.
Yeah, so he's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, so he was, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So he's not a 5-10 guy because he's only 8 years in. But or in 2021, I think it looks like maybe his ninth year. Okay. So he's right on the edge of that. But, yeah, he, was making, pretty low money until 2017. He went up to $7 million, and then, 2019, he went up to $11 million. And in 2020, he's actually making 16.5. So this is the most he's made. And then he has, and same with 2021. And then he's an unrestricted free agent. So he could, this is his last year. He's a complete rental player, but didn't qualify for the 10 and 5.
Well, I mean, I'm not disparaging.
But to answer your question, the key point that, so like I said, I didn't follow it that closely. I thought it was depressing. I knew it was coming, and I wasn't that worked up about it, but, Jed Hoyer made the key point. He said, we offered all these guys contract extensions. I believe when we see what they sign for in the offseason as unrestricted free agents, that it will come out that our contract offers were all fair, and they, all of them turned them down. So what do you want me to do? He goes, I offered them a fair deal. They turned it down, which they have the right to do, but I believe that we'll be proven right that they were fair deals in the offseason with the contracts that they get. And then, you know, so you either let them walk for free, or you trade them and get as much as you can for them for the 2 months of rental, that you're going to get. So you're not going to get necessarily their value, because you're only trading 2 months of them, but you're going to get something as opposed to getting nothing, since they clearly didn't want to sign.
You get essentially a first round pick.
Right. But that's a crapshoot, and it's an end of the first round pick.
Right.
So you're getting more than that. I mean, the prospect they got, Nick Madrigal is an everyday second baseman in the major leagues.
Maybe if he comes back,
which he will. The prospect they got from the Mets, some people think is potentially a superstar prospect. And then there's some mid level guys that maybe one or two will hit, maybe none of them will hit. Who knows? That's baseball.
I would much rather take your regular first round pick and five. That pick is between the first and second round. I'll take five picks there anytime over the bag of balls I got from some of these places.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah. How many of those end of first round, beginning of second round picks pan out? I would say the percentage is lower than what we're going to get here.
The two best guys just came off season ending surgery. It was serious stuff.
We got, the Cubs got, what, 12, 15 guys in return throughout all these trades? I mean, that's so much more than what you're talking about, the four end of first round.
You got 12 guys on your softball team. I wouldn't really want any of them on the Cubs.
Well, that's true, but these guys are a lot better than that. So you'd rather have three end of first round picks than have 12 or 15 prospects.
Why wouldn't you get five?
Because not all those guys apply. Rizzo, you don't get anything because he's got another year. Or not Rizzo, sorry. Kimbrel, you don't get anything because he's got another year.
I thought anybody who leaves, Kimbrel you would. Kimbrel you just don't need because your team's horrible.
True. But if you wanted to be good next year, you would like to have them.
There's no way they're going to be good next year.
I would agree.
But
they weren't good this
year. The thing that I'm go ahead, Brennan. I was going to take a shot at Ricketts. So I was going to say, now the only part I'm missing out of the Jed Hoyer interview was, okay, since we just did all this and shaved God knows what off our payroll, we're returning 25% to all the season ticket holders, and beers are down $2 for the rest of the year.
Well, that's not his. That's not his department to speak on.
But I'm saying
he'd get fired if he said that.
But the idea that you're going to be charging the same as you did for the rest of the year is absurd. No other business will get away with that in a nanosecond.
Well, they're going to pay for it because that stadium's going to be half full.
So what? They already sold the stuff.
Not all. They don't have a 40,000 ticket season ticket base.
I'm going to say that. They sell very.
You saw how low it got back in 2012, 2013.
I know I had them, but it was people like me giving up their season.
Well,
tickets.
That was a part of it, absolutely. But a bigger part of it was the 20,000 that are unaccounted for that no one people just stop buying.
What's the minimum you ever hear announced? What do you think their season ticket
about 25, 24?
Well, it'd be a lot lower now.
Yeah, but I would say if I had to guess, I would say 24. What do you think?
I'm going to say their season ticket base is at least that, and that the only
and so there's 16 that are just not going to be there.
Well, no, but you're only going to not get any of those pre-sold on a April 12th Monday night game.
Well, I would say on just a weeknight game in general or a weekday game in general, you're not going to get a lot of those sold. But in your weekends, you're right. You are going to get a lot of those sold, and those people will still come because they made a, you know, maybe they're from out of town and they made a weekend plan a long time ago or something like that. I get that. But the, all those weekday games, you're going to lose all those people or a big chunk of them. And then the season ticket holder people aren't going to show up and you're going to lose all that concession from them.
I'm not saying it's a positive.
The fans are going to hurt them for this. There's no doubt.
Well, when you reach the point where,
because we've seen it before.
There's level. That's the weird part about economics. I'm very, very poor, obviously, at conveying it. For some reason, Maddie and Brennan, maybe you agree with this, economics becomes a step function. It's never as gradual sometimes as people think it is. You got to reach a point where all of a sudden it isn't necessary for every business in Chicago to have season tickets. And once you do, once 10 of them decide to dump them, 200 might decide to dump them. I don't know. I mean, I'm astounded at where these tickets have gone in price. I mean, if my seats really are $109, I think I looked up. What was I, Manny? I was terrace, infield, upper deck, reserved, right?
First row of the upper deck behind home plate, whatever they call it.
The first eight row, up to the first aisle, were all the same price, as I recall. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I said, these tickets are astronomical. I mean, if they're $109, they're going on whatever these things are for like 35, or they're offered at 35. They're not even being bid there. I mean, that's a huge hit. I don't care who you are. That's a huge hit. I mean, you know what the hell? What did I have? I had what's four times 841, 1600, six. What's that? That's How many? No, I had four times 41. What was that?
That's 164.
164 tickets.
$164.
$100 a pop. A lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
And if I can't get 25% of that. I can't give them away. I mean, good Lord.
That's one of the reasons why the Ricketts have built up Wrigleyville for ancillary income.
Well, they built it up because they were given the property. And they were able to outcompete people that paid for theirs, which is, I mean, I remember somebody paying was it a couple of million bucks, Brendan, for one of the parking lots along Clark Street there, so they could build a bar, and they ended up giving the Cubs that entire area, where what's the little grassy area and the Granger building. They gave the Cubs that for what, $2 million or something? It was never theirs. They rented it for probably 40 years or 50 years. And it was never theirs. It was an easement from the railroad. They treated it like it was theirs. They actually got rental payments for stuff that wasn't there. How scary is that? And the players parked there, right?
They did for a long time. Yeah.
They used to.
Didn't somebody hit a foul ball and bust out Steve Stone's window or something?
Yeah.
God, do you think him and or Len Kasper's happy moved to the Sox?
Well, Len, of course, is very diplomatic when he talks about why he left. And he just says, you know, I've always wanted to do radio. I grew up in Detroit. I was an American League guy, and the opportunity to be in the American League doing radio, which is what I've always wanted to do, was too good to pass up, you know, so on and so forth. Okay, fine. You know the real reason. He had to have seen the writing on the wall with the Ricketts, and maybe he didn't get along with the ownership and didn't like what they were doing. No one leaves a Cubs TV job for a radio job on a less popular team. Now, no offense to the White Sox because they're very good right now, but just in general, I mean, as a career move, it'd be like going from Dodgers TV to Angels Radio. It's like, no one would do that. There's got to be more to it.
Well, the Cubs TV job is not what it used to be.
Well, that's true. That's what I mean. I think he was completely dissatisfied with the marquee network and you know, owned by Sinclair Media and everything. I just think he got out of there.
Well, plus this other guy, the lady was doing it all weekend again.
Yeah, so obviously when he signed his contract, he still, at least for this season, and who knows how long, he still basically said, I'm still under contract with ESPN to do Sunday and some Saturday games, so I'm going to need those times off. And that was all pre-negotiated.
He's like, he's off one out of three games.
It's crazy. And then Deshays gets a lot of time off too. And then sometimes they bring in a third guy, which completely disrupts the booth.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd like these guys to kind of build a chemistry. Every week it's Sutcliffe's in there, or Dempster's in there, or Sandberg's in there, or whatever. And, you know, they offer their own unique perspective, but it's like, Jesus, it's really not a good broadcast.
No, it's not. And
Deshaies, I think, is a star, and he just doesn't get any room to breathe at all.
He is so happy when they put Pat Hughes in there, like, on a weekend or something.
He probably is.
I mean, it's just, I think that, especially when they have three people, what's his name? Is Boog or Bo? What was his name? DeShambi or
Boog Shambi, yeah.
I think he's awful. The reason why I think that is because he reminds me of the guy who was on A-Rod and what's her name? Mendoza?
Yeah.
Excursion. Yeah, but when you have two people there, you can't have radio or TV. I think you can do it because you're probably watching stuff, but you can't have the pregnant pause where neither one of them knows which one's supposed to talk first. I mean, you have to constantly, and that's why when I have two people on the radio here, it's a lot harder for me. I have to, because on radio, they can't hear themselves when they first start talking. So we had Lou and Kevin Friday, and you can tell. Actually, Lou and Kevin know that though, so they wait for the other person. But we had Jan Flanagan on Thursday, and they don't know that they were on for the first time with somebody else. But I think there's massive pregnant pauses. I mean, Boo goes off on some tangent, and then he just stops talking. And there's like Sutcliffe and Deshaies are sitting there going, okay, now what? I mean, or is it just me that sees that?
No, there is some of that, but with TV, the pauses don't matter.
As much.
Well, they don't really matter at all, I don't think. But I do agree, there is some talking over each other, and it's just kind of choppy. And then I also think that the guys that they're bringing in don't add anything at all. Like, I don't need to hear anything from Dempster or Sutcliffe. Like, I don't think they add anything. So, you know, that's just me. I will say this.
Well, they're another pitcher too, which is kind of messed up.
Yeah, when Casper started, I was not a fan of his, and then I grew to really like him. So I'm hoping that the same thing happens with Shambi here, but we'll see. I enjoyed Casper and Stone yesterday when I watched some of the White Sox game.
I did too.
They were
he did it Saturday too, I think.
Yeah, and I think he's doing it. I think they're off today, but I think he's doing it Tuesday too.
So. Who's the regular guy? It's
well, it's Jason Benetti.
Yeah, he's Jason Benetti. He's pretty good.
I mean,
he's in the Olympics.
Yeah, he's a lot of people like him. I think he reminds me of Shambi. It's all kind of like jokes and stats and stuff, and it's okay. It's not my favorite style.
Well, the thing is, he looks like he's never an athlete in his life, so he looks like somebody.
Well, he wasn't.
Well, he wasn't.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He has like, what does he have? Muscular dystrophy or something? Like, he can barely walk.
I thought it was cerebral palsy.
That's what it is. Yeah, cerebral palsy. I always get those mixed up.
But I mean,
I think
he's pretty good, actually. I mean,
he's good, but he reminds me of Shambi. It's a lot of jokes and a lot of stats, advanced stats, which is fine, but it's not a lot of just like calling the game and letting the analyst do the commentary, and that's not my favorite style.
I don't get what. This, well, like I say, in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, when the relief guys are taking 35 seconds between pitch, I don't know how you can fill that up.
Yeah,
it's just too much time. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in terms of the people showing and whatever. Right now, I would say that those tickets are a kick. But one before we go, man, where do they get this kid who hit the three home runs?
Rafael Ortega, he's a journeyman, similar to Patrick Wisdom.
Wisdom's a lot younger.
I think Wisdom's 29 and this guy's 30. So
really?
I wouldn't say a lot younger, but.
I thought Wisdom was a lot younger than that. That's
no, they're both just kind of journeyman guys that I think, that were given maybe one other opportunity somewhere and didn't really pan out. And then here they're getting an opportunity to play every day. And Wisdom was red hot at the beginning of the year and he's cooled down and Ortega's red hot right now. And we'll see, what happens when they make adjustments to him, but God, he's hitting everything right now. And he plays a good center field.
Well, when you, just real quick before we head off to Mr. Flanagan, that's exactly what I'm talking about earlier. I mean, it's not always obvious what we're talking about, but I think all three of us are talking about the same thing. If you're Patrick Wisdom and you're a third baseman and you're a Cub organization and you're playing behind Chris Bryant, you have no ability to go anywhere. I mean, that would not be the team you would pick. Right? And after three or four years, you should be able to say, gee,
Well, he's been on like six teams, so okay. I think he'll take any team he can get.
But I'm saying, but it's all at their determination. It's not like there's three shortstops here There's nobody on the Angels. God, I sure wish I was at the Angels. You should be able to walk down the road and say, by the way, do you guys need a shortstop? The answer is probably yes.
Yes.
And it's, you know, and you're leaving it on somebody else who doesn't even care about you to find you to the spot. Now, it is a little bit, it would be to the team's best interest if they knew you were never going to play on their team to get something for you and send you somebody else. Both as a humanitarian move and as a business move, because you should be able to get something for the guy, right? Because, I mean, other people should know the team would have the four shortstops and somebody else has none. But I don't know that they...
But if you're a team with riches in the minor leagues, you always want to protect against that injury. Because, you know, every player is just one step away from having a major, like, manageable.
Yeah, but
having a season ending. So you want to have somebody else who's just as good or better as he is.
I would you know, do the same thing you do in what they've done in football. I'd drop the draft down to about four rounds. And I'd say everybody else can go wherever the hell they want. And by the way, you get to control somebody 2 years in the minor leagues, and just everybody can go wherever they want. I mean, I don't see why. I mean, we don't have to call and ask permission to hire another broker from someplace. I mean, why would we? Anyway, Brendan, thank you very much, buddy. SP Futures up 19, NASDAQ Futures up 64. Be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Brett Weber on the board. S&P Futures up 1950. NASDAQ Futures up 65. Dow Futures up 102. Individual stocks like Goldman Sachs up $1.75. Virtually everything that's opening this early Monday morning is up. Not a huge amount. Microsoft's up $1.23, and we've got Boeing up $1.52, Caterpillar up $1.42. Something just sneak into the upside. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 9, so call that flat. FTSE up 49.7, so that's reasonable, really. Tech round up 41.6, so DAX is lagging. The other two are moving. Nikkei up 497, 1.8%. Is this thing running all over the place? Shanghai up 66, 2%. Hang Seng up 274, 1%. So the China stocks are up 2%. This Squared is going to buy an outfit called Afterpay. So Squared is going to pay some, I'll get the number here, it's like 20, so how many billion dollars for this thing? The only problem is they're going to give them all their own stock. They don't have any, really have any, well, nowhere near the value in the country company that they're going to give with the stock. So it's really something. I got my other sheet here. We're going to go over that in detail when Mike comes in later. Over in the review of Friday.
Well, Mike and Jeff actually switched. So we're going to have Jeff today.
All right.
Well, Mike tomorrow.
Well, we'll see if Jeff is going to go out, since Luckbox is worth so much money in stock, if he's going to go out and buy everybody else now. Just give him his stock. Dow Jones on Friday was down 150, S&P down 23, NASDAQ down 105. So pretty much exactly where we are right now, to the upside. Bonds, 10-year unchanged at 1.23% is a 10-year rate. The Bund minus 0.45, Japan positive 0.01. So they're basically unchanged now for several weeks. Oil down $1, $72.95. Brent down 85 cents, $74.56. Natural gas up a dime to $4.01. We've got gold down $5, $18.11. It had the big rally last week one day, and it's been kind of hanging in there, leaking a little since then, but not really flying back down where it was. Silver down 6 cents, $25.48. Copper up 3 cents, $4.51 on the copper. That's high. Crypto, we got Bitcoin down 1,800, but still 39,482. It must have been up on Friday. So it's hanging in there just under 40,000. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
40 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a decent start here on a Monday morning. Edens and Kennedy looking okay. Traffic building on the Eisenhower. A lot of traffic on the Stevenson. That's our slowest moving expressway. A lot of it having to do with the ramp onto the Dan Ryan there. And it's got the Stevenson really backed up this morning. With ramp restrictions. No issues on the Ryan, I-57 or the Bishop Ford. We do have a crash at 63rd Street right at I-355. That's out southwest. So keep that in mind. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, mild temperatures, a high of 75. Right now it is clear and 67 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, it's hot again down in the Valley of the Sun. Sunshine with a high of 109 today. Right now it's clear and 88. In sports, the White Sox broke a 1-1 tie in the bottom of the ninth as Brian Goodwin pulled a solo home run over the right field wall to walk off the Indians. White Sox win that one 2-1. Cubs were walked off in Washington, losing 6-5 to the Nationals, but Rafael Ortega had a game. Four hits, including three home runs. And he drove in, what, five of the six runs? Guy was everywhere yesterday.
He's been playing really well since he got up here.
He has, but Cubs lose 6-5. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Dodgers 13-0. So we take a look at our Monday morning baseball standings. The White Sox, the only team sort of relevance that we care about. They're now 62-44, 18 games above 500. Firmly in first place in the AL Central, 9 up on Cleveland, 12 up on the Tigers. So the White Sox are cruising right now. They have the fourth best record in the American League, but are winning the AL Central comfortably. So looking good so far. Cubs are obviously out of it. They're 51-56, five games below 500. They're 12 and a half back of Milwaukee, who keeps playing good ball. They've won 7 out of 10. Diamondbacks are just a laughingstock. 33-73. They're 40 games below 500. 33 and a half back of first place.
Are they gonna be worse than the 62 Mets?
They're on pace to be right there. Lastly, we'll take a quick look at our Olympic medal count, through day 9 in Tokyo. China, with the most golds by far. They have 28 gold medals, compared to the U.S.'s 21, Japan's 17, but the U.S. has the overall medal count lead. They have 61 medals, 21 golds, 24 silver, and 16 bronze, totaling 61 medals. That's two ahead of China, who has 59 total medals. ROC, what the hell is ROC?
I don't know, but they kicked the ass of our girls in volleyball. They murdered them. Who is that?
I don't know.
I watched the whole game and I couldn't tell what it was. I was hoping the guy would slip and say who it was. They must be like Croatia or someplace because they're all big, tall, white people.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Athlete. Oh, it's... viewers may have noticed an unfamiliar country abbreviation in the Tokyo Olympics, ROC. Athletes from Russia took home gold in the women's team gymnastics, but the U.S. men's...
Oh, it must be the Russia Olympic something.
Yeah, it's the Russian Olympic Committee, so it's Russia.
So they were able to qualify individually. They had to take a bunch of drug tests and stuff, I think.
There
wasn't
you go.
Wasn't that the deal?
That's it. So ROC is the Russian Olympic Committee. I did not know that.
They had a couple girls that had to be like 6'7". They were just mashing the ball down her.
Yeah, anyway, they only have 12 golds, but total medals, they have 50. So they're actually third place in total medals. ROC is 12 golds, 21 silver, and 17 bronze. Chief.
When Brendan was a little over and you said John was here, what do you say? Screw him anyway? He's right wing?
It's nice to be loved.
I don't think Brendan would say that, but we have a couple of guys saying that I'm leaning too far to the right, so I got to hit back at our right wingers more.
I can take it, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, Friday I was overloaded. Guy, Lou, Kevin, and Carl, for God's sake. It was like doing the rope-a-dope Friday, really. Just saying. Well, you always help out though when I got to go. When I went those, but they actually weren't too right wing on Friday. They were behaving.
Yeah, I stay out of the politics now. The last couple of years, life's so much easier. Couldn't care less.
Actually, they're not into it as much either. We manage to stay on topics that are more for everybody's good. Hey, I got one here. This is a little tongue in cheek here, but there's something to be said for this. General Director, this is one of my buddies sent in. General Director of Euro Exim Bank Limited, whatever the hell that is, got economists thinking when he said, "A cyclist is a disaster for the country's economy. He does not buy cars. He does not borrow money to buy the cars. He does not pay for insurance policy. He does not buy fuel. Does not buy the necessary maintenance and repairs for roads. He does not use paid parking. He does not cause serious accidents. He does not require multi-lane highways. He does not get fat." Actually, some bicyclists I see are pretty fat. Healthy people are neither needed for the useful or needed nor useful for the economy.
They didn't mention the no city sticker, license plate, registration, right? All that crap. It sounds like a pretty good deal. My brother talks about it all the time. He rides his bike 90% of the time, and he has one of those. It's a regular bicycle, but it can go electric. So you pedal, and then you can flip on the electric, and you can actually go 25 miles per hour or something.
Really?
Like that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But he goes, it's much better than like buying a moped or a motorcycle because I don't have to do any of that. I don't have to pay for parking. I don't have to do anything. It's interesting.
Well, except in Chicago, since none of those bleeps has ever stopped for a stop sign or a traffic light. Well, what do you think if everybody rode a bike, what would the traffic fatalities be the first week? If they all just crashed into each other.
If everyone rode a bike, there'd be zero.
What do you mean? They'd all crash into each other going through the stop signs.
I don't think it'd be hard to die from a bike crash. I guess you could do it, though.
You can die from anything.
You're usually not going very fast.
The first, I was in Auburn Duesenberg Cord Museum. They had one town had...
Even the Tour de France crashes, no one dies.
They had all these pictures of, way back when cars were invented. When cars can only go 5 miles an hour and they had three in one town, they had their accident the second day. And I think the first fatality was... The cars were going like 8 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like it can't happen.
Don't have to carry insurance, right? I mean, what damage results is sort of, adds to everybody's pain.
Well, if you mow somebody over going through a stop sign, I'm going to say that you better have insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
Anywho, so it says nothing is added to the GDP. On the contrary, every McDonald's restaurant creates at least 30 jobs. 10 cardiologists, 10 dentists, 10 dietary experts, and obviously the people work at the reference. Choose carefully. Cyclists or McDonald's, it's worth considering.
Well,
in Chicago, Tom, we're adding bike lanes all the time and brushing them up and enlarging them.
Now, Jan, you're showing
cyclists
the fact you're
aging. Cyclists buy helmets. They buy bikes.
That's true.
There's bike repair shops. They buy tires. They put quarters in the air machine. To fill up the tires.
Last time you saw...
They buy those weird, tight outfits that the real serious guys wear. Not the regular guys, but the real serious guys wear.
When was the last time you saw anybody in one of these stupid divvy bikes with a helmet?
Divvy bikes, none. Yeah.
None.
Because you're, I mean, unless you're carrying your helmet around with you everywhere you go, they grab the divvy bike to go from one, you know, bar to the other or whatever, and they ditch it.
So let's get the most inexperienced bikers we can, throw them out in the street without helmets.
Well, it's their choice.
I've seen a phenomenon in my neighborhood, too, where the divvy bikes are being commandeered, I guess is the way to put it, and just being chained up for days on end in front of people's houses, so they're treated like, you know, personal property. And my understanding was that those things incur a $1,200 fine if not returned within 24 hours to some divvy station. But it looks like there's a tremendous theft or credit card fraud operation going on with divvy. I don't know how the thing's making any money, but I see abused divvy bikes everywhere now around me.
So, well, I mean, I actually, in our hood, it seems like everybody puts them back in the... I haven't seen too many just tossed to the side. Have you? I don't think I've seen any.
I see them chained, you know, to the lamppost. I see, and you know, routinely, really? they'll be gone for a couple of days, and then they're back there for 2 or 3 days. So somebody has them, and they're not paying the price that they're supposed to for not having returned in a timely way. So I got to believe that there's, you know, a huge loss here of stuff vanishing. So,
So John, what do you think is an interested observer when an article says Square has agreed to an all-stock deal worth $29 billion to acquire Australia's Afterpay? Now, if your bottom line or if your balance sheet says you're worth like $4 billion, how do you, and your stock's worth $100 billion, I'd be buying everything. I'd be buying bridges. I'd be buying whatever I could buy. So how can a deal be worth $29 billion when there's not a cent involved, cash?
Well, you tell me, Tom. I was looking at that, and I thought, I'm not a number cruncher by any stretch, but I couldn't make any sense out of it.
Well, I mean, if people are willing to take it, I mean, they will. Isn't that how Mark Cuban made all his money? Was it AOL, maybe? Or was it Yahoo?
I remember he had HDNet that he sold. That was big. I don't know who he sold it to.
But he sold it, and I think it was an all... I'm not positive. I thought it was mostly stock. Could have been all stock. And he turned around and sold it right away. The stock. And it's... I mean, he didn't...
CNBC says, the buy now, pay later trend is taking off. What does that mean?
Well, it means you're buying with your stock, and hopefully, and the idea being that somebody... They might have a deal, unless you can't sell it for a year or something. Maybe I don't know if you can do that to all your shareholders. The insiders probably can't, because usually when that happens, the insiders make out like a bandit. I mean, they're the guys that are like, if you're an executive at Afterpay, you might have just made $1 billion or half or hundreds of millions of dollars. But those guys probably have a lockup period on the stock. But I don't think you can do that to your regular shareholders. I mean, if you get a share of Square for every two squares of Afterpay, I don't think. I mean, I've never heard of a deal where you could lock up the general shareholders of you, Jen.
No,
I mean you can lock.
I think you could. I don't.
But the executives, I mean, it would be bad form if you gave every, even though it maybe would make sense if you gave them, you know, all the executives $100 million worth of stock, and they immediately next Tuesday sold it all. But I mean,
well, it certainly kill the price, you know, if you had those kind of strings attached.
Well, that's remember. What's his name? Captain Kirk. When he first did the... what the hell? What does he do the commercials for?
Capital One or something?
Was it Orbitz or was the...
Credit card company.
I remember he did a credit card company for a while, but he's done a bunch of
commercials. No, it was somebody way before that. It was one of these... was it Overstock? Or one of those kinds of...
I think
of
he play. Did them for a while, too. But he's done a bunch of commercials.
But way... When Overstock... This is 15 years ago, when Overstock first came up. He got the stock, and he turned around and he kept selling it as soon as they gave it to him. And they were all pissed at him because it was in the paper, you know, Captain Kirk's, essentially William Shatner, as soon as he got the, I think it was Overstock, as soon as he got the stock, he turned around and sold it. And they're like, look at what you're doing to us. He goes, look, I don't think it's worth where it is. I'm selling it. Which is not what they
wanted.
They
wanted a poster child.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly the poster child. But the stock did go way down after a while, and because they spent a decade, because I was somewhat involved in it. They spent a decade trying to go after short sellers, thinking that the only reason why the stock was $35 instead of $135 was these dirty short sellers. Of course, they had never made a dime. They didn't even think that made it into the picture. Anyway, Jan, today is a good day to have you on. It's always a good day to have you on. But what is the story with the eviction stuff? White House said the CDC, given the court case, cannot impose the ban, and the Congress refused to pass it. So evictions are people can evict if they're whenever they want right now. Well, assuming the person deserves to be evicted. There, so it's free as of last Friday, or was it January 31st, July 31st? Anybody that eviction ban is gone, right?
Right. I mean, Illinois, I believe that the stay holds on enforcing a judgment of eviction, but that's only through like the first 3 weeks of August. I think August 21 is the date when the sheriff's going to be out in force, pulling people out of these places. It's a political disaster for, the powers that be right now if this results in some kind of further lockdown, too, as it seems to be, brewing on the horizon anyway. So the timing will be exquisitely bad for a lot of people. It's going to make, the Democrats look pretty stupid at the top. For not having been more vigilant about this, Pelosi saying she worked, diligently to get this back. Apparently, she knew nothing about it, as of last Friday. So, there's this a fair share of incompetence going on here. And you would think, from a PR standpoint, it would have done, I think, a lot of good for the incumbents to have weighed in on this and done something about it if they were going to do it. Now, if it looks like it's going to result in even more pain and suffering for people, they're going to blame the people at the top, and it's going to make a huge difference in 2022, I'll tell you.
Well, Bob writes in, says, Tom's right, Cuban sold out to AOL. And then he said, Howard Stern sold all of his stock, and Sirius was pissed at him, too. And then Molesky writes in and says, Priceline might be the company you were thinking of, too.
Priceline, yeah, he's right. It's Priceline.
That was a big one with William Shatner.
Yeah, I know it was one of those kind of things. Because he, it was some kind of online travel thing. And Priceline's still real big, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they are.
Still around, yeah.
Those guys must have taken a hit last year with nobody trail one. Those guys in Expedia and Hotels.com and those kinds of places. But boy, if you get involved in the. Now, this weekend, all I heard on news, of course, they get one story and they run it all weekend. We're talking about some special bill now to help out minor league baseball teams. And, I don't know, we got all these bills out there. I mean, it seems like most everybody's getting some sort of help. Do we need a special bill just for those guys because they made it up to the top or what? I mean, there's an amazing amount of dough, I'm using the word amazing too much, being flying around here. For a government that doesn't have any money, isn't it? I mean, it's like...
Man, I mean, all of this is based on these, enforced shutdowns that were, in retrospect now looking pretty unnecessary. So the loss due to this kind of reckless shutting down of the economy, and now you pay through the nose to try to jumpstart it again. It reeks of insanity to me.
Well, I mean, it's kind of playing out, Jan, and... I mean, and as everybody, they've heard, I don't think they know, but I get, sort of inundated with all the stuff on the coronavirus. And I pretty much read it. It's never going to make me a doctor. It's never going to make me an expert. But I think, to be honest, talking to my own doctor, I've read more of this than he has. It doesn't mean he's not reading better stuff than I am, but, everything that is sort of playing out is almost to be expected. I mean, when they went and did these vaccines, they used this new technology. Well, it wasn't new as people thought it was. It's been around a while, but they essentially found, and they decided they weren't going to give people the entire virus in a vaccine. They were just going to give them essentially the spike protein, which is the part that attaches to the cell, and if it doesn't attach, it can't really bother you. I mean, this is the one part I sort of know, but after that, don't. Whenever I read a study where there's all kinds of chemical terms in there, my eyes glaze over, John, as you probably well know. So they essentially took a shortcut and didn't want to have the danger of giving people the whole virus. Okay, and I absolutely get that. Now all of a sudden, your mutations are right around the area where the spike protein is, which is also the area where they've also kind of figured out that this was not a random event in nature, because the spike protein is different than the way it would have made itself in nature. So that's why they're looking at the Wuhan lab. Am I right so far?
Yeah.
And because I think I can still read stuff without pictures. And so now the mutations are happening there. So even if you have the vaccine, you're still not going to not get or the virus in your bloodstream, although it seems fairly obvious to everybody. I hope this is actually true, that if you've had the vaccine, at least the Pfizer, Moderna ones, your incidence of going to the hospital or dying are way less than if you didn't have the vaccine. But the people who actually did have the COVID, they have the immunity to the entire virus, and they're not as affected by this Delta variant as people who just had the vaccine. And the people who had the virus and the vaccine are probably the better off of anybody. Okay, but you're not going to give yourself the virus just to do that. So anything you're seeing now is that areas that have had this big breakout in the Delta virus, there's almost no difference between, in terms of you testing positive for it, the people who have had the vaccines and haven't. There is a difference in how bad you get it. So am I right so far here, John? I mean, this is kind of where we're at.
I got a couple comments, but yeah, generally.
What are the couple comments? I mean, but generally, I'm not a physicist or a not guy.
Well, my belief is that since they've never isolated the vaccine to begin with, they can't isolate or even describe what a variant of it is. So to me, this is it's like what the flu does every year. It mutates. And it, whatever they thought they were vaccinating against with the old flu vaccines is often not the case.
I think they give you
explodes in the population.
I think they give you the whole virus though in the flu vaccine. It's just dead.
Right, but I'm talking about the virus itself though. I doubt that there is a Delta variant as they would like us to think there is. I think it's simply a flu virus that has mutated into some other form. It hasn't been isolated in any of the news comments or papers that I've tried to track down. So I think we're talking, kind of in a fantasy world about a variant of something that we can't even see.
Well, but they're all named. They're all named because I was actually, I don't know if I sent you this thing last night. I thought I did. A study where they had the alpha variant, the beta variant, and they're actually testing the different ones in various people. The scary part was they found, I don't know if you saw this, Manny, there was an AIDS patient. Well, I don't think anybody had any AIDS anymore, but I guess they do. Because he couldn't fight the COVID off, and it was just in their body. I mean, if you don't kill a virus when it's in there, the mutations take place in somebody's body, right? They're not just wandering through the air mutating. What ends up happening is you're trying to kill it. It's almost like spraying the roaches with the sprays that have four different chemicals in there, none of which are enough to kill them. They become essentially immune to all four of them, right, John?
Right.
Well, this one AIDS patient, I think they were able to identify 14 different mutations in the one guy's body. Ew. That doesn't make you shiver, huh?
Well, if you've got an immunosuppressed person, whatever is mutating is not going to be fought off. So.
Right. So let's just hope that this is just a flare, and people, if you're not dying for it, you're not getting sick, the best way to kill it is in people's bodies, although you don't want to get it just for that reason. But that is the best way, right, John? I mean,
although, don't you get the feeling, Tom, that everything is starting to kind of fall apart with the advice and the crisscrossing advice of the CDC and the White House pointing fingers at each other, that the whole narrative of what to do or what's going to happen has kind of lost its center, and you've got this endless circle of going back. Well, we're going to have to increase masks usage. We're going to have to get the unvaccinated vaccinated, and it's turning into a mantra of some kind, which I think is starting to fall on a lot more deaf ears.
Well,
people are really tuning it out now.
I have a few people that are close to me that are the anti-vaxxer types. And I said, I'm not asking you to get vaccinated for anybody else. We're beyond that stage. said, I'm asking you vaccinated for you. I don't want to be visiting you in the hospital. And everything I read says that you're probably going to have a much lighter version if you've been vaccinated. I mean, it seems like that's confirmed everywhere, that if you actually get it, you get a little bit of your body gets a little bit of head start if they got a vaccine in you. I mean, where has that not been true?
Well, for, you know, there's not a vaccine, as we've been told all our lives.
It's never
worked, for starters. So my position on it is, you know, I'm not interested in getting it until it has some kind of approval that I can depend on. I don't want to be part of an experimental group where the side effects are still being cataloged, and have my side effects just being used in some, you know, data discussion down the road. I have little confidence in anything like that. I don't care what the threat of the disease is. If you're giving me something that hasn't had FDA approval on an emergency basis where I don't see the emergency as clearly maybe as some people do.
Well, that's because you're old enough to remember the swine flu vaccine.
Which was a joke.
Well,
I mean, a bad joke.
It might not have been if the swine flu actually would have jumped from the swine, but it never did.
Right. Well, and the vaccine side effects and everything else were just—it was a scandal.
Yeah, I was pretty messed up for a day or two.
That's been pretty much buried. You know, we're talking almost 50 years now. So
hey, 20 years.
I'm thinking 76 one time.
That's what I'm thinking about too. But it's 20 years. 20 years. It's 20 years. The best was Lou saying that one of the side effects of that thing was a lot of people got, I use the term Montezuma's Revenge. And I don't know why it did that, but it did. I mean, it was a flu virus. And so Lou said, well, he's the Air Force Academy, the idiot who was the commandant demanded everybody get the vaccine on the same day. Have you heard Lou saying this? And he said they had like 1,600 students and maybe 200 toilets. That it was really ugly for about 24 hours. There were guys in the bushes. I mean, because there wasn't enough thrones, shall we say. why the guy couldn't have got a couple hundred people a day, you know. But there's no coming back from everybody. All 1,600 guys got their, I don't think there were any women in those days, got their shot like in the morning, and by the afternoon, it was mayhem. It was bad. But, But now, of course, the schools, you know, what about the school? The same people, since I just sent them in for my passport, I bet all the passport people are clamoring to not go back to work.
It'll take you a while, Tom. When did you send in your...
maybe 3-4 weeks ago. They still haven't cashed a check, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it took me 3.5 months. I sent it in the first week of March in 2020. I got it sometime in June, as I recall.
Did you
a while for the check to clear too?
Did you pay up for the fast track?
No, because I didn't really have any pressing need for it. But I thought, well, the passport expired in June. This should be enough time to get the renewal if I needed it for anything. But I was skating by at the end. I think my old one had expired. So
why didn't they just say they were good for another year? They knew they were sending all these people home.
Yeah, like with your driver's license.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see if all of a sudden, like the day after Lollapalooza, the city decided to shut down again. Whoever, talk about politically connected, isn't that Daley's nephew or something that put together Lollapalooza 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And they don't pay city tax on the tickets?
Right. Wouldn't everybody like that, Tom?
Yeah. Well, then who's the group last night that got... I don't even know who these people are, man. Who's the group that got banned? They couldn't play last night because of all the gay bashing they did down in Miami the other night?
Yeah, I think it was a hip-hop group.
Yeah, was it...
I don't know the name, but I
Grace or something?
I saw
the headline. Was it Grace?
Chief, even I'm too old to know any of the bands in Lollapalooza. I know like 3 bands in the whole thing.
Were they all changing clothes in your building, or weren't you guys back at work?
I have a story with a happy ending about Lollapalooza, Tom. My two nieces went to it Friday and Saturday, and one of my niece's roommates from college was there. She'd come in from Indianapolis, lost her IDs, lost her wallet, lost her phone in the crowd, and they went back yesterday, and everything had been turned in, lost and found. Nothing had been taken.
Really?
So she was absolutely thrilled. In the meantime, she canceled her her debit card, but she had her phone, and you know nothing else was missing. So
and her life is on their phone.
Kind of restores my faith in these you know big Lollapalooza type events.
Yeah, and if somebody stole my phone, all I care about was the phone numbers. I can't remember. I mean, there's nothing else in there.
Yeah, if someone stole all my stuff, I think I would care the most about my driver's license because it's such a pain in the ass to go get a new one.
Well, plus I got the
new
one.
You can cancel their credit cards and they'll mail you a new one in 2 days.
Did you get the new ID one?
Not yet.
We'll talk about a pain in the ass. You'll wish you were over 65.
Yeah.
Because they put you in the regular line, the other line. But, so I did earn.
Do you have to do the driving test again and all that?
No, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the ID. Since you're in a new place, you probably could do it. You need like at least two forms of an ID with the address on it. You need like two or three utility bills or something.
Passport,
you live there.
It's redundant identification you bring in, to a Secretary of State office, and for an additional charge, you'll get the real ID.
You got to bring in a whole stack of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the stuff goes down to, they fax it all down to Springfield, and by the time you get the thing in the mail. But it's a, hey, John, I wanted to ask, when you go get your birth certificate, and I did this for one year I was thinking of getting my Irish citizenship, which of course, after I got all the paperwork, I was too lazy to ever do. But when you go get your birth certificate, I mean, by the way, the people at city or the county building, I mean, I never say this usually, but they actually were really pretty nice. You have to go back and get, my grandfather and grandmother were both born in Ireland. So you have to have a grandparent that was born there and to get your dual citizenship. But you have to go back to, I needed my birth certificate, my parents, at the time, their death certificate, their marriage certificate, proved that they obviously hooked up. Their birth certificates, whoever the Irish person coming from over there, you needed their death certificate, their marriage certificate, and you needed their birth certificate from Ireland. But I went back and I just basically went out to the gravestones and figured out when people were born and estimated. So the guy at county said to me, oh no, just when was the first kid born? I said, whatever, 1930, whatever, or 1920, whatever. And he goes, all right, I'll just go 3 years before that. Most people in those days had a kid in their first 3 years if they were going to have one, or 5 years. He goes, I'll find it. Sure enough, I got it in the mail. It cost like an extra $2 for the guy to look for me. They did a nice job. But all the birth certificates here, John, they say only good for, heritage hunting, basically? Not good.
Genealogical purposes.
Yeah, but not good for legal purposes. That only a lawyer can get that. You guys have some kind of a scam with that?
No, you can get your own birth certificate and a certified copy of it, which is good for anything. It's good for banking,
right,
Business, legal purposes. You can take it into a probate court.
Right, I misspoken. Mine, I can get mine.
Yeah,
but I had a brain.
But for anybody else, and these are privacy regulations that I think have just spun completely out of control. You can only get the cheapy version of it that's not certified. And there's a disclaimer on it. This can't be used for identification purposes, or for legal purposes. And that is, for anybody who is not yourself, even a parent. So,
why is that?
That's what a genealogist has to be satisfied with, because I do a fair amount of that research myself. And you always get records with those disclaimers, and they're often sometimes more expensive than a certified copy, which.
If I can't get my dad's death certificate, who can and why? I mean, what's?
Well, you can get a death certificate for anybody, and I can never keep the time limit straight. I think if a death has occurred within 20 years, past 20 years, you can get, or if it's more than 20 years, you can get a death certificate for anybody. But the individual states can also, put limitations out there on whether this is going to be a certified copy or not.
But now, if you went in there as my attorney, you could get it.
Well, it depends who the person is. I'd have to have some kind of, statement about who this person is, what's the relation to the person requesting it, and so on. It isn't just because I'm a lawyer I would get it. I could have a subpoena for it or something, but that's a little different.
So the other one's kind of useless in court, unless you have the...
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't establish your identity, your entitlement to, sheriff of the state or anything like that, no.
Well, how does the birth certificate establish your identity anyway? No picture on it or anything. I guess they had the fingerprints on there, but nobody's going to take your toe prints.
No, and it's the seal that is the dispositive thing. We're going back to like Magna Carta days, but it's still the thing that separates a golden piece of identification from a piece of trash.
Yeah. Well, to get back to what do you think happens in the next? Let's assume for a second. I mean, I really believe this. Is this a belief or a hope that we flare out on this Delta variant, and within 3 months we're back on track, and hopefully nothing shuts down again, and the school's open, and nobody dies from it, and we're back normal? Although I don't think we're ever going to get back normal, where the people who work for the city think that they definitely are a different class. I mean, there's no doubt they think they're a different class of people. I mean, they'll argue that they deserve a raise, even though they know nobody else has gotten one. I mean, it's pretty scary. But let's say all that stuff happens. What do you think? A few people are around this weekend, they're absolutely convinced that Chicago is down the Detroit rat hole. Do you think it's that bad?
I'm worried that we're kind of reaching a tipping point, and we may be at a tipping point where people will just begin to flee, as they did in Detroit, unless things. I mean, you got to give people something to hang on to as hope for an improvement. The state's finances are holding Chicago back. Chicago's got its own disastrous financial issues. And you got a sort of a city council that isn't very functional anymore. They get bogged down in stupid, extraneous stuff. Then you have a mayor who hasn't really figured out how to build a coalition or to give the people who were just watching this show unfold any kind of confidence that we're headed in the right direction. So I think Lightfoot missed an opportunity to stave off a Detroit-like conclusion to all of this. I don't want to see that happen, and I don't want to believe it will happen, but I worry that it could. So I think that, it has happened, and, I think Chicago's got a lot of stuff still going for it, and I don't have any plans to get out of here. But I got to tell you that I don't enjoy life here as much as I do, and my prospects for future happiness are diminished too.
Well, to be perfectly blunt about Mr. Flanagan, out of all the guests we have, John has probably traditionally taken advantage of the stuff tourists do in Chicago. I mean, you've always gone to the opera, you've always gone to plays, you've always done those kinds of things, which I rarely do. But you take advantage of those things that people say they want to be in a big city for. And basically, for the last year and a half,
art museum.
Yeah, you've probably been to those things combined more than any other guest we've ever had, John. So you've had what? You've had season tickets for the symphony for how many years?
Symphony, the opera, the piano, the solo piano series on Sunday afternoons, theater here and there, Shakespeare Theater, the Court Theater down in Hyde Park. These are places that, I have great memories of and enjoyed tremendously. I take field trips when I was a teacher, take classes to them and stuff, and try to introduce people to it. So I thought this was a thing Chicago really had a real leg up over a lot of places, even cosmopolitan cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. Chicago was way ahead in terms of cultural opportunities, but in the last year, everything has been ratcheted down significantly, and a lot of the stuff has not come back as strong.
And you're a public transportation guy, so you would take the Green Line down to something in Hyde Park. Well, second guy got shot in the Green Line, killed like last week. I mean, that's got to bother you.
It does. It really hurts, Tom. I always felt pretty safe where I went in the city, and I never really. I mean, I had bad experiences certainly, but I never felt like this would affect my behavior such that I wouldn't go out anymore. I wouldn't go out after such and such an hour of the day, or wouldn't go to the opera anymore, or anything like that. And now these thoughts do kind of run through my mind, and I got to balance the risks here and decide: is this smart move or not?
Well, now, you used to go out and didn't want to go out late, but now the fact that people are getting shot all day, does that make it more of a relief? Or does that make it worse or better?
Getting out of bed in the morning.
that make it better now? What's the difference? I'm just as much risk every time. But I mean, I work for, unfortunately, I don't know how I manage the select places, because I loved all of them. I worked at LA Van Lines, I worked at Pullman, and I worked at CBOE. You know, I was, you know, I've had my whole career being at the CBOE. It's where I learned, you know, what I know now, and I still kind of do an offshoot of that because I manage people's monies. And in my mind, I don't think there's anybody better in being able to hedge and protect and whatever people's portfolios used to options than me. I mean, that's the one ego I have. I don't think anybody is any better at that than I am. And my clients, I think, are pretty happy, and I'm really surprised. Well, one of these days I'll get a clamor to have a whole hell of a lot more as the market comes down one of these days, but I won't be able to help them on that day, unfortunately. But that's another story. But I think that if you've never been involved in things that essentially go under, you don't know what there was and how important to essentially the body where you were working, of how important every little piece was. And when you start losing them right and left, you can't put the total back, you can't put the whole back together again. I mean, at Pullman, I had a discussion with then Mayor Daley. He goes, why do we have to get railroad cars built elsewhere? And I go, well, Mayor, because of people like you. I mean, the fact is that right now there's a Walmart in the old Pullman plant where there used to be 1,000 people there making, you know, $18 an hour 50 years ago or 45 years ago. Walmart doesn't come close to that as an economic. But once you get rid of all the punch presses, all the welding machines, all the skill, all the people, all the drawings, once you get rid of all that expertise and all that capability, you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Which isn't to say that if somebody gave me $10 billion and, hey, Chief, go out and, you know, find a place to assemble CTA cars. Probably if I had some help, people like John and so forth, could I get something like that together in a year or two or three? Maybe. If I found a few people that, you know, if there were a couple of railroad engineers left, I'd probably get a couple of people from Amtrak or somebody that still work down in the rehab places and so forth. But design build guys, I mean, I don't know how many of those engineers are around. I mean, could you do it? Yeah. If there was a war on, if you had to, could you? Yeah. But I mean, the idea is you've lost, you got to recreate every screwdriver, every drill press, everything. How do you even go about doing that? I mean, the lady I met in Detroit who moved the plant from Jackson, Michigan to Upper New York, I think Maddie and John, she told me she was cataloging parts, just the little drills and the various, you know, things that put on the end that do stuff, that burnish ends of metal and so forth. So there were a million parts that had to be cataloged and moved. I mean, what if you just threw them all out like they did at Pullman? I mean, how do you begin to make that factory in New York from scratch? With every single, without moving. I mean, nobody seems to have any respect for what it is to do this kind of stuff. I mean, if you got rid of Boeing, what would it take to have another airline manufacturer come up from scratch? How do you even do that?
You're absolutely right, Tom. And you're talking generations, if you're lucky,
yeah,
you know, to build it up, because it took generations to build a lot of these enterprises. They didn't just start making money overnight. They had to persevere. They had to be resilient. They had to, you know, take the hard knocks. They had competitors. I can't imagine now what kind of plan you'd have to survive if you wanted to rebuild something that had been snuffed out. It's just, you know, it's a tougher climate regulatory-wise, politically, financially, economically. I mean, the cost of everything now. So, I mean, it makes sense to kind of keep alive what you can at all costs, in a way, because you'll end up doing without it or never having it again if you let it wither. So,
well, I was on the board. How I got there, I have no idea. Well, Kathy Durbin stuck me on her, of the Factory Theater. And these guys had a little spot where they shared a theater over on Elston. I don't know, what's the name of that place? There's a theater, and they had four groups that used the place. So for 3 months a year, you got to do your play. And then, for the next 9 months, you came up with a new play, and you got your practice time. And then when it was your turn, again, you got 3 months to use the facility. And I think that's somewhat common in some of those places, isn't it, Jen? And,
yes, yes.
Well, they decided, they wanted
storefront their places, you know, that's
well, they decided they wanted their own place. So the alderman in the, is either the 49th or the 50th ward. It's right by the L stop at Howard. Oh, we got a storefront here. Let's put a theory. It's right next to Evanston and people of Northwestern and everybody's artsy, craftsy kind of thing. And we'll pull in here with it. Don't worry, I'll help you out. Well, it took, I was on the board for a year. They weren't come close. What about a storefront and getting permits and stuff? They had the dough. We went, we raised the money. They couldn't get a storefront theater going without even, it didn't have a kitchen. It didn't have anything like that. It had like a bathroom, you know, and folding chairs. Just to get the permits in the city, we're like, pay this guy, pay that guy. It's a year and a half. We came real close. I mean, I ended up, you know, getting myself off the board because what's the point of going to board meetings at a theater where there's no theater? I'm going to say it was a year and a half, John, maybe two. And they were just lucky that enough of the people in the ensemble hung around. But, I mean, what if they had just gone to L.A. or some other place? You got no people left. You say, okay, now you're open. Open for what? I got nobody. There's no conscience, no mindset at all in your politicians and how important this stuff is. You know, how difficult it is to now, does the city really care that this little group, you know, might almost went under or maybe would have gone under? What matters to them? And it's enough for 30, 40 people. This is part of their life. They work all day. They run over there and practice at night and they write the stuff. I mean, it's good theater. It was pretty funny. It's not Broadway, but it's pretty good. And they get, you know, 100 people show up and have a beer or something, enjoy themselves, go home. It's all part of an economy. And if you lose all that, and all you got is people shooting each other, I mean, the comeback trail is a lot harder, I think, than people give it credit for. Because they don't... I mean, I don't know... you're right, I think we're sort of at the tipping point. I mean, downtown, if you don't see... I mean, I did find out one thing, the young ladies I was mentioning, and why I didn't know this after all this time of Lollapalooza, that the young ladies leave the house in a different outfit than they go to Lollapalooza.
Oh.
I mean, the human condition is so spectacular. One of the guys in the office says, yeah, well, the city girls just leave home and they hop on the L. They don't care. They don't bother to change. They just leave the house like that. I'm going, okay. So that's the definition. What's the difference between a suburban girl and a city girl?
Of course, there was a real uniform for Lollapalooza. I mean, you wear as few articles of clothing as possible.
Oh, yeah. And I guess glitter was big this year. You had glitter.
I'm glad I can live these things vicariously, Tom. The idea of going to a Lollapalooza event just sort of, you know, frightens the bejesus out of me.
So, Maddie, if you're 18 and you head home to the girlfriend or you go see her that night, and all of a sudden you got glitter all over you, what does that say?
That's the new lipstick on the collar?
Pretty much, yeah, because I don't think anybody wears a collar anymore. But, yeah, plus, well, I guess down south they still, speaking of which, God, one of our friends, well, one of my friends and her sister's, or her niece is going to Alabama. Evidently, Alabama is throwing around all kinds of money up here to get people from up here to go to Alabama, University of, right? Well, evidently, it's a super, frat sorority school. I didn't know that, John. But so this young lady is she was a star in a volleyball team and she's very attractive. Well, evidently they're already pushing to get her in these various sororities. And she's getting letters from the girls saying we all use this kind of makeup and we get our outfits at this place. I never had any sisters. I have no idea this stuff is going on. This is how the economy turns in Alabama. She's already got all the makeup. I mean, her sister's going to some place up here. Doesn't have any makeup. it's a different world, Manny. I mean, you went down to the, did you go see Georgia play somebody?
I went down to the Florida, Georgia largest outdoor cocktail party is what they call it. Every year they play their game in Jacksonville, and half the stadium's red and half the stadium's blue.
But you were saying how people were all dressed up and dressed.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, when you, grew up in the Midwest and went, you know, if you went to a Big Ten school, you know, you go to Wisconsin or Iowa or Purdue or wherever, you know, the tailgating is typically, it's cold out. People are wearing hoodies. They're doing, you know, keg stands in the parking lot before the game. And then, you know, everyone gets drunk and then goes to the game. Well, down in the SEC, Florida, the girls were jean shorts and tank tops, you know, the shorter the better, revealing and whatever. And then the Georgia girls wore like cocktail dresses and like high heels and like pearls and stuff. And they actually dressed up. And so their tailgate was like, meat and cheese board and, you know, like this like super high end thing. And then the Florida girls was a little more, I don't know,
earthy.
Yeah, earthy, but still nothing like the Big Ten girls that I was used to seeing. It was just different.
It must be the winter that does it to us.
Well, yeah, and it was right around Halloween, but down there, you know, right around Halloween, it's still 75 degrees. I mean,
it's a. Well, Manny, what's the view of the younger people and what's going on? Do they see the city as a risk or not?
Well, I think everyone sees the city as a risk. I mean, you can feel it if you ride the train every day like I have. I mean, I've rode the train every day throughout the entire pandemic pretty much. And, you know, there's always some crazies on the CTA. That's nothing new. But when there's no one else around and it's just you and the crazies, it feels a little different than when there's, 50 or 60 quote-unquote normal people with you.
Yeah, I really wonder what the taxation is going to be like afterward. Although, I think that the federal government has given enough money to the state and the city. They're actually somewhat flush, aren't they, Jan?
Yeah, surprisingly. Ridership has kicked up quite a bit. Kicked up quite a bit on Metro, too. But I'm with Matt. I mean, I never was particularly bothered by crazy people. I didn't like having them in the same car as I was, but I never felt very vulnerable because they were there. But if I'm the only other person in the car, as I seem to be very often now, and the other person is completely detached from reality, that's an extremely uncomfortable ride.
Well, you guys are both big guys. You wouldn't be, if there's 50 people there, you wouldn't be somebody's first choice to mess with.
No, but if you're the only choice,
yeah, then you're, yeah,
deranged anyway, you know, it doesn't doesn't matter. And I don't know what they're on, but they're always on something. And they're not responsible for what they're doing, maybe. But you know, they don't see the world the way you and I do. And you can't read them. You can't predict what they're going to do next. You just kind of hold your breath and hope you make it to the stop you're aiming for without some incident. So,
well, Jan, we'll talk to you later in a week, bud. Have a good one. Boy, the weather's nice enough, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. I hope we can enjoy it. You and Matt both.
Yeah. Well. Take care of yourself. We come back. We'll have Mr. Jeff Joseph. He's today and Mike's tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about this merger, and we'll talk about what Luckbox is doing this week, and we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Low and hope based stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Weber on the board. SP futures up 16.75. They were up a little earlier, a little higher earlier, but they still pretty good. NASDAQ futures up 69. We've got the Dow up 97. It was up over 100. Individual stocks going up $1.56. We've got IBM up 73 cents. Honeywell up 149. Everybody's pretty much in the green here. Procter & Gamble's down a nickel, but it's not horrible. But pretty much a green across the board. Transportation average, just about every. The big move on Friday was Amazon was down like two something. It's up $15 today. So far a minor dead cat bounce. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 27. It was only up 9 a bit ago, so it's come up a little more. 0.2%, FTSE up 44.6. CAC around up 50.7. Big rally over in Asia, however. Nikkei up 497, 1.8%. Shanghai up 66, that's 2%. Hang Seng up 274, that's 1%. Now, remember last week, Hang Seng ended up down 5% on the week. It's back up one of those percent already. So it's... we've got Afterpay, which is an Australian firm, is surging because Square has decided to pay for them on a $29 billion deal, but with no money, just stock, which we'll talk about here with Jeff in a minute. As a way of review, on Friday, Dow was down 149, S&P down 23, NASDAQ down 105. So we're bouncing back and trying to get that back today and getting most of it back. 10-year, minus 2 basis points to 1.21. We got the Bund... unchanged at minus 0.45, and Japan unchanged at positive 0.01. All those guys are hanging that much, one tick above zero, but they have now for like days, seemingly weeks. Oil down $1, 72.92. Brent down 92 cents, 74.49. Natural gas up 9 cents to 4.01. As it's heating up out in the Southwest, I guess those guys use natural gas for their quick turn on power plants. RBOB down 2 cents to 2.31. Gold is down 670, 1810. Silver down 8 cents, 2546. We've got crypto down 2,000, 39,000, 176. Remember, they were below 30,000, I'm going to say 2 weeks ago. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Dog Cubs.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Major traffic issues on the south side and also southwest if you're coming on any of those expressways, whereas the Edens and Kennedy, for whatever reason, has remained relatively quiet this morning. But we have a crash on the inbound Eisenhower just before St. Charles Road coming in on I-290 toward downtown. There's a crash on the Bishop Ford on the inbound side at 111th Street. That's blocking the left lane and causing all kinds of congestion. And then the Stevenson has just been completely jammed up due to some lane restriction issues and maybe an earlier crash on the outbound Ryan that's been cleared. But it's really affecting Stevenson traffic getting on to the Dan Ryan. So moving very slowly in those areas. Off the expressways, looking pretty good. Just one crash out west, and that's Swift Road at Army Trail Road. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, another just absolutely perfect weather day. Lots of sunshine, low humidity, a high of 75. Right now it's crystal clear.
You golfing?
I would like to, but I have to work. Crystal clear and 68 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 109. Right now it's clear and 89. In sports, White Sox get a walk-off home run from Brian Goodwin to top the Indians 2-1 yesterday down at Guaranteed Rate. Cubs lost in Washington 6-5 to the Nats. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Dodgers 13-0. And we'll take a quick look at our Olympic medal count. It's China leading the gold medal count. They've won 28 golds, which is first place far and away. U.S. is second place at 21 golds. But the U.S. leads in overall medals. The United States has won 61 total medals. That's two ahead of China, who's won 59. And third place would be the Russian Olympic Committee, known as ROC. They've won 50 total medals. Chief.
Some big girls on that volleyball team. Just saying. You want to get some basketball players as kids, Matty. That might have been an option. Or volleyball players. I mean, volleyball players are as tall as basketball players, aren't they?
They're pretty tall.
It's Jeff, how are you, bud?
Hey, good morning, Chief. I'm good. I'm recovering from 4 days of Lollapalooza.
Were you released in the the VIP Skybox?
Only one day as a guest of a friend. Other than that, I'm typically in the media areas, but always in the middle of everything, in general admission.
Now, did you get the golf cart in?
It was a great 4 days there. It was very impressive, nice, great weather, and no discernible crowd issues at all. We'll see. And been looking at the press this morning to see, the comments about super spreader events and things like that. We'll see how that all plays out, but I think there'll be an interesting experience or experiment. We had usually about 100,000 people a day go through that festival, so that's about 400,000 people.
They did pretty good business in the hooch joints, I hear. I hear they had a pretty good business in the downtown hooch joints.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, all the places around that did well. And I think that's what happened. There's been a lot of pressure about where COVID, momentum has been in the last couple of weeks. The city was under a lot of pressure with this festival. But they let it go, and I think it was for the better. It was after the first day, you'll find this interesting, Chief. They announced the data from the first day. The requirements were you had to show proof of vaccination or proof that you received the vaccination within the last 5 days. So at the end of the first day, they announced that 90% showed proof of vaccination, 8% showed that they had been tested negative within the last 5 days, which was the second option, and 600 people were turned away. So, I know that sometimes Tribune are showing pictures of throngs of people crowded in together with no masks on, and, it's kind of spreading that fear. But at the same time, this was a crowd of vaccinated people together outdoors, and it'll be very interesting to see if see what the results of this were. I know it's easy to point to those pictures and say super spreader, but God, that's a word like science that should not be used by most people anymore.
Well, Jeff, when I was younger, I was a pretty big guy, so I didn't really need them all that much. But the fake IDs for booze was a big deal, right? And to get the hardest part, as I recall, was to get the stamp on the back of the draft card. You could get in Indiana, you get the driver's license. Well, I know a guy who basically stole a big shoebox full of the blanks, and the driver's license was just typed in to the blank form, right? So you could get that. Right. The draft card was tough. Well, I have my vaccination card, and I'm going to say if a second grader couldn't make one of those.
Yeah, but remember, it does have to be matched with your ID. So, you have to walk in with that, then they cross-reference that against your driver's license or whatever your ID is. So vaccination card by itself is not worth anything for entrance.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope it worked out well, because everybody, I was just ready to be appalled. I hope I wasn't going to be by, 15 people getting shot some night walking back to one of the trains, but that did not happen. I think it was.
Well, that's another comment, Terry, that's worth noting is the police presence was just overwhelming, literally overwhelming. There were police everywhere at the festival, and having attended it for now 15, 16 consecutive years, I would say that I saw far less incidences of kids passed out, fights or anything like that than ever before over the last 15 years.
Well, good, good.
And it's just a reminder of what actually happened, And meanwhile, this morning I'm looking at our Chicago data, 49 shot over the weekend, 4 dead,
yeah.
70 shot last weekend, 12 dead. Apparently, in July, shootings at 461 are up 15% year over year. And, obviously there's not a lot of police presence in these communities because police have been able to work under these codes. Under the current kind of attitude about policing. So, I think Lollapalooza was an interesting example of what happens when you have strong police presence. So, I haven't seen the final crime data reports that they end up releasing, but I've certain that instances of, the criminal activity within the festival grounds was far, far less than normal.
Well, Jeff, it kind of hits one of my pet peeves, to be honest with you. Not that you do it, because you always bring out the best in me, but the idea that if you're sending your daughter in from the suburbs, that you have a right to have a police presence that her basically to make it back home. Yet if you're in some of these other neighborhoods and you're one of the few families in these horrible areas that actually is trying to have a house there and live there, your daughter has no such protection walking down the street to the store. And, you know, you can have all the activists you want. You can have all the people that say they don't like the police or whatever. The fact is, in my mind, that is your right as a citizen, and I don't care where you live. And I don't care what your color is, and I don't care what your economics are. I mean, your kid gets to walk down the block without chance of getting shot. And they don't get that over there. You can say it's partially there, but you can do, say whatever you want. The fact is, there are still regular people like you and me in those areas that are trying to make a living and life there. And, those people have zero rights, if you ask me. And I think it really sucks. I mean, I just do.
Yeah, that's underscored in an article within the last 3 days. Chicago Sun-Times did a big report that kind of summarized criminal activity in Chicago on a year-over-year basis. They noted that gun confiscations were way up, and at the same time, you know, the shootings are way up, and that apparently check this out, by the way, in Chicago there's been 39 mass shootings so far this year. Only one person has been charged.
Yep.
In those 39 events.
Don't take this.
Our conviction rate for shootings in Chicago is, mass shootings is 2%. Our conviction rate, in Chicago for shootings in general is 13%, way far below the nation, national average, but at 2%, we're like not even on the radar in terms of conviction rate. And the Chicago Sun-Times editorial was kind of pointing that at the AG's office, and basically saying that they're not, you know, not prosecuting, and there's not enough police bandwidth. And in that same article, back to your point, there were people on the south side and the far west side that were just saying, look, we can't even send our children to the parks. Our parks are empty.
All right.
In these neighborhoods. Meanwhile, as you said, the you know, the affluent kids are sitting in the metro riding for free at midnight last night with ample comfort and security. And meanwhile, in our you know, more challenged neighborhoods, you can't even go into work.
I don't. You reach the point when you get to that area, that spot where the police can't protect or won't or whatever it is, can't protect anybody. You should not be shocked when nobody wants to testify, because the idea of the police telling somebody, "Don't worry, we'll protect you if you testify," is a hollow ring to it. It's like Goring saying there'll never be a bomb landing in Germany, right? I mean,
yeah.
There's a little bit of a hollow ring to it, and I don't see how you don't this bus has to be turned around pretty good, because those areas, Jeff, I believe, didn't we lose in the last decade? Didn't we lose like 80,000 black people? Was it the last year? I mean, everybody who can is leaving those areas. I mean, the drain out of Chicago is mostly black people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think last year with the COVID, there's a lot of people that have left the apartments downtown and stuff. The rents are way down and so forth, although I think they're coming back a little bit. But those areas, I mean, there's way less people in Inglewood and in western areas than there used to be. But now it's starting to go west. Not just Inglewood, it's West Inglewood. It's Hyde Park, which was coming back, and everybody thought the Olympics was going to be a big pull. That didn't happen. Everybody thought that whole Michael Reese area was going to be whole nice new area, and now there's something going on over there. The area by me, everybody's going to, I mean, the something yards, what's the name of that place? What do they call it?
How is that
back
doing?
Yards.
The yards development.
They haven't done anything. It's tore everything down. It's going to be like block 48. It'll be 2 decades before they build anything.
Yeah.
All they're going to keep doing is tearing everything down, right, Manny?
Lincoln Yards?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of anything in the last, obviously, 2 years.
Yeah, and I don't know what, I mean, do you really need a spot for 60,000 people to live? When there's not an L line, there's not, Elston Avenue is one lane each way because of all the bike lanes. What are we going to do, pave the river? I mean, how's everybody, Jeff, what do you make of your buddy Jack? Jack that's the head of Squared and Twitter. Jack, just Jack. He's not Jack Dorsey. He's just Jack with the beard.
Dorsey.
He's going to take $29 billion of some might say, worthless stock, and he's going to buy a company without any cash at all. I've got that company, the book value is $4 billion, and they're going to spend only a piece of their stock and buy somebody else for $29 billion. I want to sell my stock instantly, don't you?
Yeah, how about it? Talk about, well, of course, in an acquisition, that will be restricted stock. So who knows what the acquiree is actually getting out of that deal. Restricted stock for probably 6 months, maybe even a year.
Well, I was going to ask you, Jeff, knowing you were coming in, I was stumbling around on that earlier. I mean, I know the insiders at the new firm are they always have, well, usually have restricted stock to various degrees, depending on how up the chain are. How far down the chain does that go? You never restrict the other shareholder, do you? I mean, if you give them one share for two shares or something, they're never restricted, are they?
No. When you get out of the C-level, the C-suite, you basically, you know, they'll be candidates. All employees will be subject for insider trading policies that will be distributed by the acquiring company to all the employees, but they won't be restricted. They might have a notification period. They might be, under a new corporate policy, be restricted from trading within 3 or 4 days of a earnings announcement. You know, that's pretty common, but you typically will not see any restrictions extend beyond the C-suite.
What do you in general? I know you've kind of tossed this around. I don't know if you've got a specific luck box yet regarding what goes on in the contracts and stuff in the C-suite. I have a feeling, without suggesting, that one of these days you'll be doing that.
Not a bad idea.
Right. So, what do you think in general? When you read the story I have here, and it's not the person who used to come on our show, Dr. Jay and I were on the score when the CME and the CBOT combined. The chairman used to come on and basically tout the yes vote because he knew a lot of the people there, because Jan and I were on the score from 5 to 6, so it was when a lot of guys were coming to work. So he'd come on. He was coming on like 2 days a week. By the way, we'd never given us a dime, not that I'm bitter. It was a Jan idea. So I said, Jan, doesn't this guy think, can't they at least buy an ad? All right, like one ad or something? When the guy's getting his political message out like a half hour a week. Anyway, but having said that, these guys had the guy before him, when I knew somebody was on the board, I was privy a little bit to the contract, which I probably shouldn't have been. The guy, and he didn't get the sale done. He ended up getting tossed or left or something. But Jeff, the Board of Trade was around since 1865, roughly the time the I&M Canal was completed. By the way, there was a huge connection there. Chicago became a place you could bring all the grain to. If there was a deal, he was going to get 10% or some huge number of the entire deal. Now, who the hell out of, we're talking about 150 years of people working there, of traders, of history, what would this guy, after 2 months, why would anybody think that he was worth 10% of that asking price? I mean, what? In the weird part, these guys think they deserve it, which is even more bizarre. It's one thing to get
sure.
it. They actually think you deserve it. I mean, I go, okay.
That question answers itself, I guess. I guess his line of thinking would be, well, in all these years, I'm the catalyst for the monetization event that results in other stakeholders, you know, being compensated and having liquidity. I created a liquidity event, but 10% is a big price tag for that.
I have no idea what Squared wants to do with these guys, but say they leave them, and then all the people still stay there. But what I just wonder if you look at a because obviously a lot of stuff you guys write about is at the end who's being hurt and who's being helped. But if the whole purpose of somebody in the place to come in there, say it's a drug company, and you hire, you know, let's say Thomas to come in and run the drug company and come up with some good drugs, and it's a big employer in some town. There are people that might say, we want you to make the best drug company on earth, come up with new drugs, get the shareholders some profit, get some people here some raises, hire some new people, by the way, if we get a couple of new drugs, and we can afford a, you know, even more research. There might be people that want somebody to grow it that way, and yet there are people who just say, well, I'm just going to sell the thing out for 20% higher, take my payday, and the next guy is going to close the place. I mean, you wonder what, why that's even allowed. So, I mean, I know it's America, and that's the way businesses, you know, mind. But your job shouldn't just be, you're hired to run the place, not to auction it off. In my mind, I know that obviously if it's run down and somebody else has the capital, you don't have it, and they want to buy. I mean, there's all kinds of different instances where it's a good idea, bad idea. Just in general, did I really hire you just to close the place up and get a check?
I mean, that's a good point. And the bigger question that you raised right at the outset is, you know, what's actually the value of that stock in the first place being distributed to the acquired company? You know, people rail about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies being based on nothing and having no value. At the same time, we're using publicly traded stock that's extremely overvalued to acquire companies that probably don't have runway for profits for another 5-10 years. So think about that little pyramid scheme. You know, using inflated capital to buy to buy a company that has a long path towards profitability.
Well, this thing's $239 squared. It's down $8.20 this morning. I got them making what, $1.55 a share. And their revenue is like $20. I mean, what's odd, Jeff, is I did this in 1999, and I should never have done it, but it was trading in the OEX pit, so I've heard of all these names. So I picked like the top 15 names of the dot bomb era. You know, the Oracles of the world. I mean, they're still here. I mean, it's Cisco, but there was a lot of them in ours. And maybe it was the first, the top 20, and I looked at the. Where these stocks were now. Take this squared. And I don't know what these guys are doing. I'm not disparaging. I'm not telling you to sell it at all. But okay, they're 120 times. What's 20 goes in there? 10 times revenue, and they're 100 and something times EPS, or earnings per share. Okay, so
sure. Pushing 100 almost 200. Something. Remember when 15 was a big number?
Yeah. So let's say I don't know anything about squared. So. Which I don't. So I'm going to say, okay, for these guys to grow into this stock price within the next 5 years, like you say, I'll give you the 5-year time. The revenue has to be, let's say, 120 a share, and that'll push the earnings to, so like 10. So now we've got 20 times earnings, which is still a little high, but it's at least within the area code, right? So we're going to do that. Well, if I did that for the top 20 stocks, and I looked at what their revenue was going to have to be, and virtually every single one of them, I remember Cisco was trading 65, and the revenue per share was under 5. So I said, okay, these guys got to get to 20 probably, or 15. All right, so that's another $10, and oh, by the way, they've got, 20 billion shares outstanding. So that's $200 billion. And I basically added up where the revenue would have to go just to be normal in the top 20 companies. For God's sake, it was like 25% of the GDP. I mean, I'm not saying it's squared, but they all couldn't make it, Jeff. Or else we didn't have enough money. You know, it's like I certainly was not smart enough to pick the ones that did or didn't. I wish I was, but just the. For these companies, I mean, I'm not going to rail too much on. I think they're too expensive, and you aren't either, really, because we know some of them are probably going to do fine. But in total, right. How can they all do fine? I guess where I'm at. That's what I'm asking you.
No, you answered it earlier. It's America.
Yeah.
Optimism abounds.
Well, but some of the stuff you've been writing, you've picked out pockets where people shouldn't be so optimistic, and yet they are. Are you, you sound
yeah.
a little, you don't have much time, but you sound a little, last week, a little despondent that, the trade with China is going on. If anything, your article's accelerated it, for God's sake. We love those guys again.
that's probably the case. Yeah. But, I think And it's too early to say, and giving it the benefit of the doubt, it'll be interesting to see what ultimately is the trade policy that the administration comes out with China. You know, it's still unclear at this point, but we'll see. You know, a lot of it's still unclear, I think.
Well, yeah, I think the citizenry has decided if it's cheaper, we want it. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, bud, we'll talk at you next week. Great. We have Mike tomorrow. We have a whole hour to talk to him about volatility and stocks and stuff. It should be real interesting. Jeff, take care.
Oh, he's on it, too. He's been doing some great work in volatility. Oh, you'll have a good session with him.
Oh, he's the best. S&P futures up 17, NASDAQ futures up 62. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
A little early.
I gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.